I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
This man had an impact on the rodeo industry that is probably pretty hard to measure. Appreciate the humbleness about it. He's an entertainer. He's an award-winning barrel man, Flint Rasmussen. He'd been a very visible part, I think, of this rodeo. I don't know if you'd call it rejuvenation, but it's certainly there's all kinds of series out there now, a lot more rodeos, a lot more money, a lot more athletes in this too. So I think it's taken, it's gone somewhere over that 30-year career of Flint Rasmussen. Earlier this year, Shoto native, very proud Montanan, announced that, I'm calling it hanging up his frown, meaning that he'll be retiring from the PBR professional arena. Today, it's Flint Rasmussen, today, on Voices of Montana. Gentlemen to my right, you'll probably know him. I have to say, Flint, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. I very much appreciate that. I talked to like three or four people yesterday in doing some scheduling. They all knew you. They just came from everywhere, and I didn't know that, but they all knew you.
That is a benefit sometimes, but not all the time. You know, there's times when you don't want everybody to know you. But I made a comment to somebody, might have been one of my daughters the other day, as things wind down. I have 3 days to go in this profession. And it's hitting a little different now than it did all winter and spring, because I told one of my daughters, it's been good to be me. And that's not an arrogant thing.
Right.
I mean, hey, can you get me tickets to such and such? Oh, hey, Flint. there's little things, and I hope that continues. It's been a fun life. You know, I'd say I'm a kid from a town of 1,600 people that I look around at when I'm in Madison Square Garden and say, how did this happen?
I know. You probably have to, I mean, genuinely do that, right, to yourself. And then you go out there and just, oh, I know how it happens because I just do my thing, right?
Well, you should do that.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably people in their careers, and maybe I didn't or don't do it enough. And there are times when it gets to be a grind and you get a little jaded and yeah, you just want to be home. But we got to take that time to say, you know, look where I came from and where I've gone, because that's what reminds us where we are from. And so, it's been a crazy, unplanned career in all of this.
And it seems like, and I know you talk about it frequently, you wear 406 on your sleeve, so to speak, and mm-hmm. in your heart. It seems like you've managed to retain those values or those small town values through this.
I hope so.
I hope so.
And you know, I it's funny, for years I talked about being from Montana, and I always said I was from Montana when being from Montana wasn't cool, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. as time went on, I noticed we'd be in New York City or Southern California or wherever across the country. I actually had somebody come up to me one time and say, are you really from Montana? Or do they just say that to kind of build an aura of what you're doing? No, I'm from Montana. And that's when I started to realize. And I've used it through the years in speeches I've done, graduation speeches. I tell kids, it's cool to be from Montana. Like, you know, kids for a while, they poo-poo the little town they're from. No, you don't understand. It's getting cool to be from Montana. Well, now, everywhere I go,
yeah.
Oh, you're from Montana. We're thinking of moving there. No way. Really?
No, you haven't seen a show called Yellowstone, have you?
I'm not kidding. I had a guy, we were walking to Madison Square Garden about, I think, 2 winters ago. Went out the back of our hotel, and it's like a block and a half right to Madison Square Garden. Big, tall guy, long coat, flat hat like yours. says, "Hey, Cowboys." We had our cowboy. "How you doing?" We're like, "Oh, what does this guy want?" And then he got a smile on his face. He said, "I bought tickets to that bull riding tonight." Said, "No kidding." "Well, thank you." And he said, "You know why I'm going? Because I watch Yellowstone." Like, if that's a reason, that's good enough for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite the phenomena around the country for us, for sure.
I love talking about small town. I love talking about Montana's culture and things like that. And it wasn't where necessarily we were going to just jump into. I want to talk about the impact initially that your career has had on rodeo. But you speak of small town Montana, and there's very much affection there, a lot of value in there. I want to ask you, because you have said as well that you feel that sometimes those values may be shifting. And there was a recent poll we talk about where America's values are shifting. Mm. Your thoughts on that?
Well, make no mistake, in my discussions of Montana and my parents who live in Shoto still, and I have a brother there, my brother Will, who's in Salmon, Idaho, you know, I'm not going to hide the fact I'm also quite critical of some of the things that small towns in Montana don't do to help themselves. Okay. That doesn't mean you have to grow. It doesn't mean you have to all of a sudden look like Big Sky, you know. But there's things we can do to help ourselves to retain that while still thriving. It's painful to me, honestly, to go down Main Street of Shoto and see half the buildings empty. The enrollment at the high school is half what it used to be. And that's painful. Some people like it, but I think it's not healthy. I think those towns could be healthier. When I grew up there were three grocery stores, you know, and So I don't want to just come in and say, love small towns no matter what they do. I also, when I say critical, I can see things that could be done.
Yeah.
But everything I am is because on a summer morning like this in Shoto, Montana, I mowed the lawn or whatever needed to be done around the house. And then after lunch, I threw a towel over my neck and got on my bike and rode into town. And I swam, went to the bakery after. I remember donuts were 7 cents. That was so weird to me. Go home. Mom would feed us something. Hang the towel up to dry and throw my baseball mitt on those same handlebars and ride to baseball practice. Everything I am is that. That was my life. And I don't see kids, even if the opportunities are, they don't do it. And I mean, that shaped me. I was alone a lot. My parents worked, so home alone, going swimming alone, being creative, everything my mind does to be creative and, you know, that the wittiness and all of it is because of where I and how I grew up. All of it is.
I grew up in the same way. Mm-hmm. And so,
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Glendive, Montana. I lived in Hysham, Montana. Lived up in Flaxville, Montana.
Man, all the glamorous places.
Right, I know. Yeah, yeah.
But you know what that is? That's the parts of Montana that nobody else in the country knows exist.
Yeah.
I always call it real Montana. However, all of Montana is real Montana, just different versions of Montana. But Eastern Montana has that coolness about it.
Well, we'd hop on a bike and do the same thing, and we were gone. And so I appreciate that because I think we need to preserve our rural values for just that in and of itself. And we'll talk more about small towns because you raised your family in a small town. We're going to talk about your family here as well. I want to talk about something that may not be your favorite topic, so to speak, because I think you've had a role, a very almost immeasurable role, what I think is a rejuvenation of rodeo. And I think that you can see all the series that's out there nowadays. And I know it's hard to say I played a role in that, but talk about where rodeo was when Flint Rasmussen first put on the frown. And by the way, it's mostly a frown, isn't it?
It's kind of, I never really thought of it. It wasn't designed to be a frown, but that's kind of, a little bit.
Yeah. What has changed over those years? And why is it so cool now?
There was a time I just had this discussion when, you know, we kind of had this place to ourselves up here. Because it wasn't cool to be in the mountains or out on the prairie or on a horse. People went to the beach and they went to the cities. And all of a sudden they realized this is pretty fun. So now that's why people are coming here. And I don't badmouth it much because really they see what we've done and they appreciate what we've done and they want to be a part of mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Rodeo and I started, I became professional in 1994. I'd been doing it for 5 or 6 years at small NRA rodeos around Montana for quite a while. And I was very patient in my career, did it for a long time around Montana because it was just my summer job. Mm-hmm. I didn't have these expectations, but when I came into rodeo, it was right when music was starting to be a part of rodeo. The music director, when you go to a rodeo, oh. during a ride, they play music and they lead, you know, we do stuff for the crowd to sing along. That wasn't, when I started, that wasn't the deal. Nobody did that. And so that was really starting to take off and that helped me because that was my thing. You know, the dancing and moving, that wasn't something I invented as part of my act. That was just me. And now I see a lot of guys getting into my profession and the rodeo committee or whoever wants them, whoever hires them says, you got to dance. You get, well, that's not what they do. You know, that's, and so that was just me. So I lucked into that as music became a part of things. Then me and whoever was doing music would feed off of each other, knew each other's styles. But that had to be done because that's really when things, cell phones were getting, starting to happen, more and more TV and satellite TV and this and that. There is just too much to do for rodeo not to change. We couldn't do things how it had been done for all those years and expect people to come and want to see it. They want a taste of it, but you got to change a little bit or they won't come, the young people. And so mostly it has changed in holding on to the heritage of rodeo, but changing and adapting enough that people go, this is really entertaining. And if they're going to pay $35-$40 to get in, you have to give them something. I always say, you got to, when they walk out, their day should be better than when they got there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what kind of role I play. My goal was always to take it to bigger markets in different places than where I grew up. And lo and behold, you know, PBR took it to Madison Square Garden and AT&T Stadium and all of those places. It's funny to me that I can go in Madison Square Garden and I have fans in New York City. Yeah. That is messed up to me. But I do know about halfway through all this, I started to be conscious of it. And now that I'm going to be done, I think the bar and expectations have changed for my job. New guys coming in, they have to step it up because there's expectations of how you engage people. And I hope I've done that.
I've got a follow-up on that, but I'll take a break because I wanted to talk about the impact. The follow-up would be, what do you want to see from the next generation? Yeah. And then I want to come back and talk about the impact, not that you've had necessarily on the rodeo industry, but more importantly to you, I think, is the family and the friends and the fans and the athletes backstage as well. Flint Rasmussen is with us. We'll have a heartwarming story as we'll introduce Kelly Lynch next, Executive Director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns on Voices of Montana.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
That's from a film, Brandon Prescott Sullivan. Keep that up because there's...
It's time,
and I'm going to encourage you to check this out.
Wherever that road
but
leads.
Here's some
his fans,
part
friends,
of that
and those who love him and most.
As we're He'll talking right with Flint Rasmussen with today.
I look up to my dad in so many ways, and I think I need to tell him that more because, I mean, just in everything I do in my life, he's really an inspiration.
That was Shelby Rasmussen. And in that video with Paige Rasmussen as well. And their dad, Flint Rasmussen, maybe, you know, maybe they know about him too. Entertainer. And you can pull that down now. Yeah.
I'm Shelby and Paige's dad.
Yeah, I know. I love it. That. Yeah.
That's all I am. Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to kind of introduce that too, because you've had an impact on the industry itself, but the fans and the family especially. I mean, when you hear and that's a great I would point people to that. Brandon Prescott Sullivan did it for MTN, a nice Last Dance piece. It's about 12 minutes long. Got some really good behind the scenes
stuff.
It's
the best one that's been done.
Yeah.
Brandon's he's an award-winning guy, and you know, I told him, take all the footage, make a half-hour show out of it. it was pretty cool the way he got my girls sitting in the field house at Bozeman. Yeah, that was really good.
It must be very satisfying as a father to have your daughter say that. You're an inspiration.
I hope so. And, when you look back at a career, you want, and I think professionals and, you know, whether it's musicians or actors or athletes, there's probably a lot of them that people see one side of the job, and it's all about being in front of crowds and you go to all these cities, but the people that get left behind are your family sitting at home. And probably the biggest regret of my job is my family breaking up. And so there's regrets there and things you could have done, because their mom is wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody comes to me and says, oh, your girls have done so well in rodeo. You must be so proud of how you, they were exposed to it through my job, but their mom was the one there coaching them. Yeah. Great horsewoman, trained all their horses, coached them, you know. So I appreciate, you know, everything I did being out on the road was at the time what I thought was best for my family and to support my family. And it's provided them a great life. But they're surely, you know, to hear them say things like that is nice, because you wonder, you know, you always hope, boy, I sure hope my kids still respect what I'm doing. And I have a great relationship with my girls. I have a good relationship with their mom. You know, there's parenting there. Mm-hmm. They're 24 and 22, and we still co-parent with things that they're doing. So, yeah.
That's the joy. You don't want to ever leave that. I'm going to introduce Kelly Lynch. She's known to this program as Executive Director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns. Good morning, Kelly.
Good
How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about small towns and what.
Yeah, I know, right?
Exactly. Doing
commercial.
She's sitting right there. Love to hear some of your ideas. Oh, God, now I'm getting called out.
But Kelly was in Billings today and was able to stop in. As I said, Flint was going to be in. You had a story to share, and it. And I thank you for sharing that, too, because it's heartwarming, but it also talks about, I think, what a lot of fans listening out there can feel, that there are memories made by entertainers.
Oh, yeah. So you're Paige and Shelby's dad. I'm Connor's mom.
Connor's mom, yes.
And we, you know, Connor was born with cerebral palsy. He was severely disabled, couldn't walk, used a wheelchair, couldn't talk. And ended up getting a make-a-wish. And, you know, I'm thinking, we're going to go to Disney World or something, you know, on the beach. Mom's going to get a break, mm-hmm. too. Yeah. No. PBR in Billings, Montana. And I'm thinking, it's 3 hours away. So we end up, he had found PBR on television and just was enamored with you, all the riders, the bulls, all the girls, everything involved with it. Shorty.
Oh, the girls. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Shorty, the bullfighter. And so we came out for 3 nights at the Metra, and he just had his socks blown off. Hmm. And on Saturday night, you know, you came up, gave him your hat. Uh-huh. I don't have a picture of that, because it was just such an incredible moment that you came up, and he was staring at himself on the screen. So we couldn't get a picture of him, you know, looking at us, because he was like, I'm on the screen with Flint. It was just so cool. And then a couple of PBRs that we went to after that, Livingston, Big Sky, you would see him and, you know, come jumping over the fence towards him and Connor. And that just made his day. And Connor passed away a couple of years after that. He was 10. And word got out on the rodeo circuit that he was dying. And we started getting just hundreds of videos from all of the riders, the bullfighters, everyone who he had interacted with, Matt Triplett, J.B. Mooney, who is his absolute favorite. Our cat is named Mooney.
Oh, my God. Does the cat drink beer and smoke cigarettes,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
So I wanted to tell you, you know, I was going to be on this morning and we switched me up. But I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as they say here, you were my tow rope.
Mm.
And you guys saved us. You saved Connor. You gave him that experience that he left us with.
There's fans who will respond to various videos, and I've read one most recently too as well. I was a fan of the night. I treasure that memory. I know that you don't go out there to make memories, so to speak, or do you? That's part of it. You go out there and try to entertain, but memories are made from that.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier, because like Connor, it's funny. I have a real, you know, some would say I don't have many soft spots, but I have real soft spot for special needs kids. There's a kid now, he's, I think, in his 20s, might be 30, from Southern California, Tony, cerebral palsy. He's in a wheelchair and he's everywhere. And his big thing is he flips me off. It's hilarious.
Does he do it well?
Yeah, really well.
Oh, okay, good.
It's funny because I don't always remember, like, the fan of the night. And I feel bad because I do it and move on.
Yeah.
But there's a Down syndrome kid from the Midwest named Elliot. And I'll never forget, Elliot gave me a big hug and said, "You make me happy." That was, so I remember that, you know, and Connor. And so I think my soft spot there is I do say, okay, I got to make sure they remember this. You know, I never want it to seem like, yeah, I'm going through the motions, whatever. There are nights when it happens. And, but yeah, I've got to the point, especially this last year or so, where I knew I was going to be done, that when I did walked out in the arena and I'd look around and go, oh, you guys are going to remember this. You know, it finally started to dawn on me that people 15 years later will come and go, the night I was in St. Louis, Missouri, you did the boneless chicken and then you threw your hat. I mean, step by step. I do it 100 and sometimes a year, so I don't always remember. But the fact that you always have to remember, they are going to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to remember if you suck at it tonight too. So I think it really started lately. It's dawned on me. You got to remember this is their night, that maybe this one night they got tickets, even though I'm in on 16 weekends in a row of getting on a plane and in a bad mood. You got to switch it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's so glad to that. Yeah.
Well, there's the reward for it. I mean, it's a lasting memory. As you shared, Kelly, you really treasured that moment yourself.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, we were talking about how growing up in Montana, you get these, you know, experiences of small town life. I had the same thing in East Helena. You know, we were gone in the morning, didn't come back till the light, you know, sun was going down. Connor didn't get that.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't get to have those experiences. And so when he connected with what was happening with you guys at PBR, it just, it was his thing.
There's something that I've learned that through the years of special needs kids I've met and different things. There's a visual connection there. It's a very stimulating atmosphere, especially the show we do in indoor arenas with our modern, the lighting and the flames and the bulls and the cowboys are dressed in a way that I don't want to use the word flamboyant, but it's Western and my costume there, you know, through the years I've discovered it's a very audio and visual stimulating atmosphere. And I think that's the connection there is because it's not just everyday life and things happening around him. It's right here.
Yeah.
And then when we come, cowboys are so great at that too. Like the picture you have as Gage Gay and Matt Triplett, who are very good at those things. And cowboys are, hey, whatever you need. Can we get a picture? You bet.
Yep.
Always time. And so, yeah.
Also, they're like 3 feet tall.
They're all the same. Yeah. Do you know how much I get? "Oh, hi. We thought you were taller." Because every guy I walk up to in the arena and pat on the back is shorter than I am. I am taller than Tom Cruise, though. I have discovered that one.
There you go. So,
by what? A full inch? Or it doesn't count.
I did meet Tom Cruise.
Inch.
He came to one of our shows one time. He was looking into doing a movie about a bull rider, blah, blah, blah. Tom Cruise was there, and I met him. He was wonderful, but I was an inch taller than Tommy.
There you go.
You're taller than Mr.
Tom Cruise. How long before you missed this?
Probably Tuesday next week. So what I have, you know, when we're done here today, I'm picking up a good friend of mine, Lucas Teodoro, wonderful. Speaking of great guys that are bullfighters, flying into Billings, and we're going to Big Sky 3 days, Big Sky PBR. And, I end there Saturday night, and we have big PBR teams event at Cheyenne Frontier Days, Monday night and Tuesday night. And I'm on the broadcast team there. So it is a quick, the fall starts and I'm going to be flying every weekend. Same schedule, different jobs. So somebody said, "Will you miss this?" I said, "If I don't miss this, I've been doing the wrong thing. I've had a pretty dang good job for about 30 years." And so believe me, it's a hard thing. I'm emotionally and physically kind of spent.
Yeah.
But man, that my brother Will, who's in radio as well, he puts it a good way. Those of us who perform in front of live crowds, we have this big hole right here in our chest. And the way we keep going and fill that hole is from the feedback of the crowd. And we just fill that hole and keep going. So the key is when we're done, we have to find something that fills that hole to fuel us and keep us going. So the big project is to find that thing.
And you can take a little time and do that too. We'll talk about that because one of the things I want to get onto is, you know, where the next Western winds are taking you. And and that's behind the microphone, which I think is pretty dang suitable for you as well. Flint Rasmussen is with us, Kelly Lynch in studio too. Really appreciate that story. We're back with more. Give us a text if you want here at 781-627-543. It's Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate that. Making us part of your Montana mornings. 2 decades strong and working on 3. From Montana, for Montana. This is specifically today's program from Montana and for Montana. Rodeo entertainer Flint Rasmussen is with us in studio. Flint, really appreciate you coming in. We've talked an awful lot about the impact that you have on fans and the impact you have on families, the impact you've had on the industry itself. I don't know if it's, I want to get into family and because it's very important to you. And as you shared, as we noted earlier, Brandon Prescott Sullivan did a nice video, Last mm-hmm. Dance. Check it out. It's on YouTube. There was a lot of your family in that, right?
Yeah. He actually went up to Shoto. I was going up there for something. I had spoken at the Montana AAU Awards at Fairmont and then made a trip up to Shoto. He met us there and my parents are still the house I grew up in Shoto. My brother Pete is the justice of the Pete up there. I talked to, it's funny because, and my brother Will is in Salmon, Idaho in radio and announces rodeos. But from my place in West Billings to this side of town, I called my brother Pete and we talked on the phone till I parked here. So we talk. You know, I talked to him the most. We were closest in age. I have a sister in Oregon. My girls, I talk to my girls every day. My daughter Shelby calls me. I'll get a text. "What's up, bro?" And my daughter Paige, it's funny. Shelby just was the assistant and women's rodeo coach at Montana State this year and just took another job with Learfield Media, Learfield Sports. My daughter Paige on a Saturday night in Casper, Wyoming, won the national championship at the college national finals.
Goat tying.
The goat tying. Congrats. The goat NATO rolled through Wyoming. That was her one goal. She said, I'm going to be a national champion. She wasn't hooked on being a cowboy. She was hooked on winning. Mm. And that was her. She wins out on Saturday night. Tuesday, gets on a plane with her mom, flies to Boston, where she had never been, and is in Boston for a two-month internship at MIT in the Brain Institute, which that makes sense being around cowboys her whole life, and might end up there. She told me yesterday, I applied for three jobs at some hospitals here in the Boston area, and that's so cool.
That's very unique, too. Yeah.
And I got to tell you something. This applies back to what we were talking about growing up in a small town. She called me and she said, Dad, these people with the culture on the East Coast, they don't know anybody that's been on a horse, or they think I'm a superhero. Like, I'm the toughest. I don't know how to put it on the radio, but that a lot of people call it toxic masculinity. I got the red button, whatever it is. But they're just so, she is already making strides at MIT because she's a real person.
Yeah.
And she visits with everybody. She says hello to everybody. She told me a week in that everybody said, hey, Paige, as she walked in, because she speaks to them. She looks them in the eye, and she has a personality, and she's rugged and, you know, and beautiful too. Mm-hmm.
Both.
She is making strides at that internship where most kids don't, because of how she was brought up in a small town.
Thank you.
So it works everywhere.
Those values, and they shine. They shine like that. We take them for granted here because that's how you have to Montana, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Shelby's the same way. Yeah. And that it was a conscious thing with our mom and I. One thing about rodeo, we used to tell them, if you're in the rodeo world, you better learn how to lose, because you're going to lose a lot more than you're going to win. And so, you know what, if you get done barrel racing and you tip the second barrel and somebody comes up and says, well, hey, or you make a nice run, you're sitting third, nice run. Just think how fast I'd have been if he'd have turned second. And if you're in the rodeo world, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, shut up. So that was a very conscious thing when we were raising our girls, graciousness in victory and in defeat. I hope that comes through.
It does. And that's why the preservation, I think, of rural values is very important. A laugh you heard was from my friend and Northern Ag Network broadcaster, Andy Schwab, big rodeo fan. He knows a thing or two about Flint Rasmussen and even some of the people you work with. So,
we got connections.
Here we go. Going
back to that last CNFR, or what it may be called, different names from the daughters, talk about the experience that you had, because you were a fill-in barrelman there after Rumford got hurt.
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of my favorite weeks, I'm going to really miss it because my girls are done. As Paige calls it, the sniffer.
Yep,
the CNFR, the sniffer.
You didn't say that, Andy, but Clint can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have to come back tomorrow.
For one, the College National Finals Rodeo needs more exposure. I think it's one of the greatest, most underappreciated rodeos in the country. Casper, Wyoming is a perfect host, perfect arena for it. Yeah, my friend Justin Rumford is an amazing rodeo clown, different style than me, different body style than me. In the slack performance on Sunday, a bull hit him against a fence and broke his foot. So he's hired as the clown barrel man there and couldn't do it. So he'd kind of commentate from the announcer's booth. So we worked. It isn't as simple as Flint's here, have him do it. The business doesn't work that way. I have bosses, they're sponsored, you know. And that rodeo is about my girls. I didn't want to do anything. So one night, Paige wasn't up that night. It was the Thursday night. They did this whole thing, and Justin Rumford, they said, it's your job to have somebody out here. And he said, well, I do know a guy. I don't think he's any good. I can't guarantee anything. And then I eased through the corner of the arena and like, here I am. And the place started to, you could hear him go,
that guy.
So I did 10 minutes at the College National Finals, which was significant to me because in 1995, David Allen, who now lives right outside of Billings here, who was in, he produced, promoted, put on the College National Finals Rodeo in Bozeman and hired me. 1995. Wow. That was a big break for me to work the College National Finals Rodeo. So I got to do one night.
That's awesome.
At the Sniffer. Yeah.
At the Sniffer. Well, you know, talking about the history too, you know, the bowl battery that we've seen change over the years. You go back to Dillinger, Little Yellow Jacket, yeah. All the names of the start. How about the change of it through the years?
So I get a lot of people who, the riding, we don't have good bull riders. Look, they ride way less bulls. There are more great bull riders around the country. They're just spread out now.
Uh-huh.
There's so many, you know, don't forget when the PBR started, all those guys were rodeo guys.
Yep.
They were the guys that made the NFR and they did both. That's why the PBR always took a break in the summer so they could go to all the big rodeos. There's way more now, but you have PBR guys, you have rodeo guys. There's standalone bull ridings on every corner. But the bull power, my first PBR World Finals was 1997. Michael Gaffney was the world champion. Yep. And there were always great bulls, but there are just more of them now. In the last three, four years, it's to the point we need to make a decision how they put pens of bulls together, because the guys just can't ride them like they used to, because it is out of control how athletic these bulls are with the breeding program. And people say, you know, there was a night at the PBR World Finals in, I think, 1999 or 2000, where there were 11 90-point rides, the greatest night in history. If you go back and watch those, I don't care what anybody says, those bulls were nothing like what they're riding.
I agree.
Now. Sorry, Ty Murray and Chris Shivers and those guys.
Back when they bucked.
They rode great ones, but consistently across the board, it's crazy.
You can see it. You can see it in the physical structure, the physique of these bulls. One thing that we asked earlier, and I want to get to now. There's a text message here.
I see it on your screen.
How tall is Flint? Always a big debate on how tall Tom Cruise really is. So you can actually settle this debate for the world.
I'm 5'9". Well, I used to be 5'9". I was listed at 5'9". So I'm a 5'9er. Tom Cruise is 5'8". Wow. But on TV, there's no reference.
Yes,
you can't. They're all bigger than life, you know. But Tom Cruise is. I'll tell you who else. I got to be friends with Kiefer Sutherland. He played a rodeo clown in a movie. It was a crappy movie, but I was in it. And he watched me all one summer. He snuck to rodeos. He later told me he was at some of the rodeos. And Kiefer Sutherland and I are exactly the same size. Really same build, everything. Brad Paisley, same way. So I'll tell you, somebody, if you ever meet him, though, who really is the epitome of movie star, 6'4", Tom Selleck. Like, tall, good looking. I mean, I'm a guy.
Pretty darn good actor, too.
Yeah,
I think.
Anyway, yeah. So yeah. I'm about 5'9".
All right.
So there you go. look at hard-hitting.
I think you made...
Hard-hitting questions.
Again, you had an impact with this. A real big impact. Debate. I appreciate that. Karen's got listening in Red Lodge, KGHL. Let's see if we can go to her real quick and might have to just take the call and take a break and come on back. Karen, you're on the air, Voices of Montana with Flint Rasmussen.
Hey, Flint. Hey, Tom.
Karen, thanks for calling.
Yes. Hey, Red Lodge is the hometown of the Home Champions Rodeo.
Yes.
You probably are familiar with it.
I'm pretty familiar with it because in 1994, the very first PRCA rodeo committee that said, if you join the PRCA, we will hire you for our rodeo, was Red Lodge, Montana.
Yep. And actually, I do come from a small town, and my father used to ride the rodeo a long time ago. He used to be a bull rider. Long time ago.
I wouldn't do that to save my life, and there's not enough Pendleton in the world.
No, Red Lodge was the very first pro rodeo that hired me. So I had worked Belt Montana first, then Augusta, two, you know, little pro rodeos in Montana and Red Lodge. And I'll never forget, I did a couple pro rodeos that year where they hired me, but they also hired someone else because they didn't trust that I'd how good I was. So nobody hires anybody else now. So.
And this is one thing. Go ahead and hit that. We'll take a break. And Karen, thanks for that call. Appreciate that. Thanks for listening down on Red Lodge. May get over there today. Shakespeare in the Park, by the way, in Red Lodge tonight at 6:30. There may be some small rodeo cameos in your future, but there's one at home in Shoto upcoming as well. Back with more of Flint Rasmussen in just a bit.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Well, where will the Western winds take him next? Flint Rasmussen in studio here at Voices of Montana. Appreciate you joining us as well. He's already got, according to Flint, which is a podcast, he's been doing it since 2020, by the way.
Yeah, that same guy, David Allen, called during COVID and said, well, time to start that podcast. Yeah, so yeah. I do, according to Flint, I've done about 73, 74 episodes. We have a YouTube channel. You can watch. We put up some short clips of videos. And we've had great guests, musicians, professional athletes, rodeo world champions, Ty Maries and Trevor Brazils on my podcast. So have one coming out tomorrow with Andy Watson. He's been a photographer at PBR for 27 years and produces PBR events. But so I'll keep doing that, do some TV. We'll see. I can't retire. And people say, oh, yeah, I'd go crazy, too, if I wasn't working. No, that's not the problem.
Right.
I can't. I'm still fairly young, and so I got to keep working. So microphones don't bother me. Cameras don't bother me. So lots left to do. I have things I want to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think this is a good place for you. Talk about, where you'll be. Cheyenne, but you said.
Yeah. So this PBR does a team series in the fall. So the first few are Cheyenne. Then Kansas City, Anaheim, California. We go to Nashville and Austin and, a place in Missouri that Johnny Morris from Bass Pro Shops built an arena out in the hills. So some pretty cool spots. I'll be busy this fall. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to appreciate that. What would you like to see? We asked this earlier, but as you're not necessarily leaving, you've sort of set the bar. Now it's up to the next generation to reset that bar.
Yeah. And I have never been real outspoken. I've always said, I'm going to do my job and try to be the best at it. And I'm not going to give unsolicited advice to young guys and whatever, but watching young guys, I think the thing, and it always used to bother me going, we used to have the big convention at the National Finals Rodeo and clowns, barrel men, contract personnel would be in one room and have this meeting. And the only thing they ever talked about was making sure everybody was charging the same. What are you making a performance? Nobody ever talks about how to get better. And I think the key is, guys, you always got it. Every time you step in the arena, you got to in your mind know, I can be better this time than the last time. And, you know, when you no longer feel that way, it's time to quit, which I am doing. But I think there's just, you know, there's some things that young guys need to learn about reading the room, situational awareness, the rules of engagement, we call it. And I guess all I ever wanted to be was a performer, an entertainer. I wasn't a worn out rodeo guy that decided to be a clown. All I ever wanted to do was perform and entertain. And I approached it as an entertainer. And I wish more guys would do that. And not just the visual, not just the title, not just the life, but truly when you walk out in that arena, you know these people paid and you better just get better and do a great job. That's what we were talking about, making memories. You got to be conscious. Every time you go out there, do it the right way.
And you have. Thank you for that. Thank you for all those memories. Thanks for sharing it with us here too. And thanks for being around. Thanks
for
loving Montana.
Well, I made this long drive this morning across town. So.
The West Side.
We got coffee for you.
West Side.
And opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.